Jamie.
Welcome to the Canine Cooperative Podcast.
All right. Hi, everybody. It's Jamie.
And Sabrina.
And we are back for another podcast talking about
reasonable expectations.
Now, that can be a pretty broad subject, but we're going to narrow it down to obviously, specifically your dog, and what we mean when we talk to clients about reasonable expectations.
Sure. So everybody that contacts us, especially when we do behavior modification, obviously we have multiple different personalities that we deal with. We have multiple different behavioral concerns that people deal with. And when you send your dog away to a board and train, like Jamie says, quite often, dogs are not cars. We are not mechanics. It's not something that you can just kind of download information and then poof, you have a dog that can deal with all the things that he couldn't deal with before.
Yeah.
So what we talk to people about, especially when they're going to embark on something as involved as our board and train is, we talk about reasonable expectations. We want to make sure that the owners are okay with what we can reasonably provide, alter, teach with their dogs. And that's the starting point, right? There's certain things where we can say, hey, based on this, that, and the other, this is what we can reasonably expect at the end of a board and train. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't more that can come out of that. I refer to that as gravy.
That's
the gravy on top, but it's not guaranteed.
And I think it's important to note that reasonable expectations go two ways. So we usually see this presented. One, somebody comes to us and has a dog that's like really nervous, really fearful, and they want the dog to be friends with every single person that comes into their house when they have big Italian like sauce making parties, or like they're having
some sort of
cornhole tournament at their house, and like they've got extended family who all are dog people. I'm using big air quotes, all like are dog people. And they have this really nervous, fearful dog who's kind of like, I need a couple of drinks to get to know somebody. I need a couple of meet and greets to get to know somebody. And the owner's expectation is, so after training, if I do A plus B plus C, my dog will automatically love everybody they meet no matter what. Well, that's not a reasonable expectation. Your dog is who your dog is. So when we talk to people about reasonable expectations, can your dog handle people coming and going throughout your house when you have guests or party comings? Sure, but your dog might need certain things, like to be on place or to be on a leash with you, or your dog might need a break from that environment after 45 minutes or an hour or something like that. So it's not that your dog can't perform at a certain level. It's understanding that certain things that your dog likes or doesn't like or has a propensity for or does not have a propensity for play a huge factor in the outcome of what you and your dog can work together on, and kind of almost make a compromise between what your dog ultimately wants and what you ultimately want.
Right.
So seeing your dog for who they are is a big part of this. And then the other part of reasonable expectations, and that's obviously people's expectations are way higher than what their dog can achieve, right? Or you'll see it in the area where people go, I want my dog to be a service dog.
Well, oh, yes.
Your dog is
reactive,
lunging at people, over aroused, anxious. Like, they're not going to be an emotional support animal. Like, they need an emotional support animal. Like,
they need an emotional support human.
Yes, they need an emotional support human. So, like, that's not a reasonable expectation. But also, I see this in ways where people go, oh, well, my dog's reactive, so we'll never be able to go for a walk.
Sure.
Or like, oh, my dog is fearful, so I'll never be able to have people over. Or I'll never be able to take my dog to a store for whatever reason. And that's okay. Well, in that sense, your expectations are set way too low. Mm-hmm. Like, never say never. Your dog can most certainly learn how to cope with and manage their environment, but that means you have to step up in a certain way to guide them through that.
And that's, I think, a lot of where that unreasonable expectation comes from, because of the heavy guidance that you have to have with your dog. You have to be an active participant in their learning, in their potential rehabilitation. It doesn't just happen where, like, okay, now we're going to put the dog in situations and they can make the correct, big air quotes around that too, because that's perspective, but the correct choices in those environments based on what you are expecting, right? Like, you have to guide the dog. And I think that that's a fallacy of a lot of boarding trains, that people send their dogs off and then they expect them to come back all right as rain.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not, it's really just a jump off point.
It is.
It's to get your foundation straight.
Yeah.
Start learning some language that you can share together. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, so you can input that stuff into your life and help your dog along the way.
Yeah. And like, and that's such an important point, is like the one thing that we focus on here is education for not just the dogs, but for the humans as well, so that you guys can have a lifestyle together. Lifestyle is something that you need to actively make a choice to do every single day. A certain type of lifestyle doesn't just happen for you because you went to like a 3-week yoga retreat,
right,
or you went through rehab. Like whenever you approach any kind of training with your dog, whether it's a board and train however you're learning with your dog, you have to be learning and adapting with your dog as well. Otherwise, it's not going to stick, quote unquote. Those unwanted behaviors are going to slip back. And having reasonable expectations for yourself is also an important factor. We talk about it. We started this conversation talking about dogs, but like as we're chatting, I'm realizing creating reasonable expectations for myself as a human, mm-hmm, who owns dogs is a really important factor as well. If you're going to a trainer who trains bite work dogs or Shunshound,
right,
training, and you have a golden doodle and your trainer is telling them that you have to work your dog in high intensity situations for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at night, but you have 4 kids and a golden doodle that's 12 pounds and you don't want your dog to be in a militant heel. You just want your dog to not jump on your kid's friends.
Mm-hmm.
The reasonable expectations of what you can do for your dog is an important factor as well, because your lifestyle matters.
Absolutely. Well, I think the rehab association is probably the best when it comes to working with behavior modification, because you're ultimately taking an animal with bad habits. And I always tell people, I'm like, the dog goes to rehab, the owner goes to Betty Ford.
Yeah.
Because they also need to learn how to live this lifestyle with this particular being. But you have a dog with bad habits. They go to rehab, right? Much like the addict goes to rehab. The rehab is the board and train. And in that time frame, they are learning new habits. They are learning new ways to cope with things that caused them behavior issues in the past. Now, when that addict or that dog comes home and they go back into an environment that's not supportive, mm-hmm, of their needs, and that also goes with the owner as well, understanding how to support these needs, and again, reasonable expectations on both sides, that's where the magic happens. And if that doesn't have a follow through on the back end,
mm-hmm,
you slip into bad habits again.
Yeah.
You slip back into those behaviors that caused the issues in the first place. And that's why it's really important to have such an important or a supportive environment,
yeah,
on home, the back end, mm-hmm, and really understand how your role plays into what's going on.
Yeah. And listen, like a lot of this stuff, when people come to us, like they didn't get a dog thinking that they were going to have to wade into this depth
of nobody
training,
does. Right? Like, right. Nobody's like, oh, we got a puppy. Yay. I can't wait to spend thousands of dollars on a board and train and right. him bite all the neighbors.
And right. Like, and like, I can't walk him on a leash and blah, blah, blah. Most people get a dog with a very specific vision of how they want their life to be with the dog. And like, dogs and kids are what, no matter how you get your kids in your life, they're never what you expect them to be. Like, whether it's like you give birth to your own children, you adopt, you foster, you like whatever, however children come into your life, it's a,
they're all individuals.
It's a surprise. Like, they're going to come out how they're going to come out. And like, and that's the same thing with dogs. And we tend to think that the experience we've had with dogs in the past, now Sabrina and I are a little bit different because we've had multiple experiences with thousands of dogs right. between the two of us. But generally the average person's maybe had 2-3 dogs in their adult lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so you think that when you get another dog, a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog, and they should be as the exact same experience.
Well, and you hear that often, right? Yeah. Like, this dog wasn't like my last dog.
Right.
It's like, well, you had a lab and now you got a Rottweiler.
Right.
Right?
Like, yeah. And like, even when you adopt a dog that's like a mixed breed.
Yes.
You don't know what you're getting. They're a you know, Molotov cocktail of genetics. Like, you have no
nature,
idea.
Nurture,
like nature,
it's
all of the things. So you really don't know what you're getting. So when we talk about expectations, a lot of times what we're doing is we're not setting those expectations because we're trainers. We're adjusting people's perception of who their dog actually is.
Yes.
And that's the foundation of this conversation right here, is that you have to have a real clear vision and look at your dog. Who is my dog actually? So like, a great example of this is we started working with a dog where the owners brought the dog in saying the dog was highly anxious, extremely worried, like all of the things. They couldn't crate the dog. Well, it turns out that the dog's body language and how the dog presented its behavior wasn't anxiety. It was just a highly vocal dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a hound mix, and he just like whined and barked because it got their attention, and he was alerting to things, and there was no anxiety in that dog whatsoever. He was a little confused about what they wanted from him, but all of the vocalization that the owners perceived as anxiety was actually just who the dog is. He's just a vocal dog. You just talk to him. And so,
well, on the flip side of that,
we
just sent home a dog who, when we first met, we were like, this dog is potentially highly aggressive.
Yes. Very dangerous to dogs and people.
And he ended up being the most lovely,
absolutely fabulous
individual ever. Now, granted, there are some things where, you know, like, he's not the dog you can just walk up to and pet.
Right.
But he makes friends fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's rational.
Highly social.
And a lovely dog. Like, he left and we were just like, oh my God, when is he coming back? When are you guys going away on vacation?
Bring him back.
We want to have him back. Like,
they're so having a baby in August. He's coming back then.
Have more babies.
Yes, have more babies. We'll take the dog.
But it's very, you know, really getting to know what that personality is and what's causing specific behaviors is so important. Because that goes into it too, right? And right from the get-go, when we talk to people, I mean, that's, we're already putting our analyzing hats on, that we're trying to figure out, all right, why is this happening? What's going on?
Sure.
But really getting down, living with the dog and seeing all the ins and outs and their reactions to certain things is what gives us the ability to say these things on the back end of stuff.
Yeah.
But you never, you know, in the beginning, you never know.
No. You never know. And so if you're confused about what you and your dog can or should accomplish together, you should like take a step back, like look at the whole picture, like get some help, reach out to somebody, but
and do your research as far as like who you're talking to as well, because I mean, get opinions. I mean, I can't tell you how many times dogs have come in here and they've gone through other programs and they've labeled these dogs
fearful.
Incorrectly.
Absolutely incorrectly.
Like, I mean, think about what that rescue said about that dog.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. So it's those other, kinds of things where you really want to talk to someone that has a good handle on this kind of stuff and not just puts a blanket label on the dogs. Because, mm-hmm. like, aggressive is...
It's an incident.
It's not a personality trait. Right? Like, so...
That's a good podcast.
That is.
We should talk about that next.
I'll take a note.
Okay. But you're right. Like, aggressive is an incident. It's not a personality trait. So understanding, like, who your dog is and what they can reasonably accomplish, both on what they can't handle but what they can handle.
Correct.
I think that needs to be focused on a little bit more than even what they can't. But it all has to do with your guidance and your expectation. You set that tone, mm-hmm. and you model that behavior. So I had an incident recently where a client reached out, and their dog's kind of has stranger danger. But, like, he's the type of guy that, like, he's got about, like, 2 hours of party in him that he can manage, and then he's done. And
I can get down with that.
Right?
I'm like, time for bed.
But, like, and they had an unfortunate incident. Like, he nipped somebody at the party. And they went to the exact extreme where it was like, now, oh, he shouldn't be around people at all ever. Well, not necessarily. He did great for the first 2 hours. But... at, like, he reached his breaking point. There was, everybody got a little lax. I'm sure there were, like, cocktails involved, you know, and an accident happened.
Well, and too much of the behavior was left to his choice, mm-hmm. which is going back to what we said before. This dog needed guidance.
Yeah.
Got caught in a situation where he's like, I'm drowning.
Yeah.
And no one was there to recognize that. And then he reverted to the behavior that...
always worked.
Always worked. And... what prompted him to come to you in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of stuff where we can't leave that stuff to chance. You got to be there to help them out.
Yeah. And so you've got to know what's expected of you post-training so that your dogs can rely on you for that guidance when they need it. That's how they're going to be successful. So this is such a huge topic. I feel like we could go on and on forever about it. But having reasonable expectations set is something that you need to do for yourself as be like, okay, yeah, like my dog might not be a service dog, but what can I do with my dog then?
What else can I do?
Like my dog might not be, and we say this often, my dog might not be everybody's dog.
Yes, it's a dog for you and your family.
Yeah,
and it's... If you have these goals of I need a solid temperamented dog, I need a dog for service work, I need XYZ, make sure that you go out and search for that
personality trait,
yes. That type of breeder that does temperament tested.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about just, you know, organizations like the Seeing Eye.
The Seeing Eye, I was just going to say the same thing.
Who breed specifically for this stuff. The majority of those dogs get washed out.
Yeah. It's like if there's a litter of six, maybe one is chosen.
Yeah.
And that's, they're breeding for a specific temperament type. So like if that's what you need in your life, where you need a solid, happy-go-lucky, what have you. And listen, we are all for rescue. We're all for municipal shelters. We're all for all of that. But we are also a proponent for ethical breeding for specific purposes.
Especially if you want something so highly
specific. If you want something so highly specific. So having realistic expectations about your lifestyle, there have been many times where I've had clients come to me after a dog has passed and they did nothing but rescue and adopt for their entire dog experience. And they're like, I have kids now. My house is insane. My elderly mother just moved in with us. We have help coming and going all day long, all that kind of stuff. And they go, I don't know. And I'll tell them, I'll say, listen, what you're looking for, the type of behavior you're looking for, if you want a guaranteed, a predisposed solid dog. Not to say behaviors can't come out of a dog from a breeder. They absolutely can. But if you want to meet both parents of your dog and see what their personality like and talk to somebody who knows, then maybe going with a breeder for your lifestyle is the better choice than going
down. And also make sure that you go to a reputable breeder, right? Because we have someone that just spent a good fortune on a golden retriever that is just not...
And yeah. And that's... And
not
that's,
stable.
And that's where my empathy comes out for people too.
Especially because, for that.
Like, people go in and they're like, I want a family dog. And they did what they thought would be the best option to get them a solid family dog for their lifestyle. And they did not get that.
No.
Like,
it's very sad.
Now they're handed a dog with severe, dangerous behavior issues. And they have to change if they want to keep themselves and this dog safe. They have to change. And that's a hard thing for people to wrap their head around when you talk about reasonable expectations.
Yeah, like, it is, absolutely.
Because what they went out and sought and what they got are two totally different things. Like, these people should not have, like, they're not the family to have this quality caliber of dog.
Yeah.
And that's not a diss on them.
I'm not sure. Most people are. Like, that's not, yeah, nobody goes, I want a golden retriever. That's going to eat me.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where my heart goes out to these people, but they are some of my favorite families to work with because
they're a great family.
They are so brave and they are stepping up in ways I don't even think they knew they could step up. Like, they are doing it for the love of the dog, and it's just such a beautiful thing to see. But at the same time, like, if you are one of those people that went out to your local adoption event or went to a breeder that you thought was good because you didn't know what a reputable breeder looked like, because there's a lot of people like that. They are like, I'm going to go for my breeder, and they look at the pictures online. They have no idea, like, what they're looking at or if it's good or not, and then they find out after the fact that it's not.
Yep.
But if you're one of those people that thought you were doing the right thing and now you have not what you paid for, not what you thought you got, it's okay to grieve that loss.
Absolutely.
It's okay, and it's almost important. Like, you have to let go of the dream or the expectation or whatever you want to call it of the dog you thought you wanted in comparison to the dog you actually have. Or even if you got a dog after you while you were still grieving the loss of a previous dog, if you're comparing your dog now to the dog you had previously, or even to what you thought your dog should be in comparison to a family member's dog or a friend's dog. Even if it's the same breed. Or breeder, but just a couple litters later. Like,
well, we have one of those too.
Yeah. Like, you...
Completely different dogs.
Yep, completely different. You have to grieve the loss of what you thought you could have in order to build a better vision and a better relationship for the future you actually can have with the dog that's in front of you right now. And I have lived a lot of my life with dangerous dogs in my home. And that's a process that I had to learn to go through so that I could live safely with the dogs that I lived with and give them what they needed in that situation. That's a hard lesson to learn.
And it's also an individual choice. By no means do people need to do that either, but we can't change what we have. So, like, an idea, just like with my own dog, with, like, reasonable expectations, my dog is a dog who's dog aggressive and he's caused some damage in that realm. So, reasonable expectations for me is that he keeps himself together around other dogs, which means he's not reactive, he's not lunging, he's not doing any of those things. But at the same time, we don't allow dogs to come up into his space. Other reasonable expectations is that if I do want him to, like what Jamie and I did with our dogs, because we both have weirdos, to get them together, we had to take very intentional steps. So again, reasonable expectations. We can't just be like, hey, meet this dog, let's go, everything's great. My dog had to be muzzled. He had to be muzzled for quite some time. We had to work on their relationship, and that took a bit.
and now they're great because we put in all that work. So like that would be a like a reasonable expectation for someone in kind of a similar position, right? A reasonable expectation would not be like, I want my dog to just be okay with every single animal he meets. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
No, he doesn't like it.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, the vein of how we're discussing this stuff. But that's not to say that, you know, over time, gravy doesn't come along with that.
Yeah, like
we also live with a Chihuahua that really beats his ass. And like,
she does. Oh,
and
my
he's totally
goodness.
Okay
and
with
just,
it
yeah.
for whatever reason. So like there was a period of time where I'm like, oh my God, like could I actually live with another dog? Like clearly that's the gravy I got on the back end. Like
sure.
some of this stuff is possible. So
yeah,
that's kind of how we
well, like, even again, like, any interaction we have, as far as reasonable expectation goes, reasonable expectations don't stop after you achieve the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, setting them up for success within those expectations. So, even when I have Queen over here with Django, if we're inside a tighter space, like, inside the home or, like, sitting on
the
deck.
Well, when we went away,
we were sharing a very small house. There was a lot of management there. We were very conscious of keeping them out of each other's spaces. We were very conscious of just how they moved through space together. We made sure that they didn't like rush through doorways together. We made sure that they were separated when they were eating or
mm-hmm.
sharing, or if there was a resource involved, we'd made sure there was a nice space of bubble around them. If we had to be in a location where they had to be in tight quarters, they were in command, like a down or a place.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that both of our dogs don't like being crowded by other dogs, we still had them in tight quarters together because we were the ones setting our expectations of management to the correct level to help our dogs be successful.
Exactly.
So we knew that, like, yeah, they're great. They're great together. They, like, don't try to kill each other.
When there's
like,
a lot of space.
When there's
and
a
movement.
Lot of space and movement. And we can keep going and we hike. We can walk together. They can swim together. We do all these things together. But we're doing everything that we do as dog moms to advocate for that space and enforce that bubble around them. So their tolerance level for when things get tight is more manageable for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's us working together with our dogs going, hey, we know you don't like to be crowded by other dogs, but Sabrina and I like to be together.
You're going to have to deal with it.
So you guys are going to have to learn to have some mutual understanding of coexistence and we'll all be happy.
But we're not like, hey, deal with it in a manner of no guidance. Like, we're just going to put you
right.
in the room and you're going to figure it out.
Right.
Like, that's not going to be successful. So those are things that you have to keep in mind when you have dogs that have special needs. And
yeah.
I don't even want to call them special needs. I think it's all really normal. When I meet dogs mm-hmm. that, like, they love everyone. They love everything. They've never met a stranger. They've
I'm
never
like,
met anyone scary. Like, I'm like,
weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So, but reasonable expectations. So,
yeah.
Something for everyone to think about, especially if you're considering a training program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a good question to ask, whether you train with us or somebody else or whatever. Asking the professional you're working with, what are reasonable expectations for me and my dog? Not only what are we going to get at the end of this program?
Yep.
It's not a product or base or an outcome-based thing. It's like, what are our reasonable expectations moving forward? Like, what can we reasonably expect from our lifestyle after going through this? And that's a good jumping off point, no matter what you guys, whether you're working with a trainer or not. But just seeing your dog clearly in front of you, managing your expectations of both what they can do and what they can't do, and then managing your expectations for yourself of what you should be doing in order to guide your dog so that they can be successful, and what that looks like for your lifestyle moving forward is really what this whole conversation wraps around.
Yep. All right.
So I hope that was helpful for you guys. As always, you can get a hold of us through social media, the Canine Cooperative on Facebook and Instagram. If you guys have any topics or questions you want to send in or chat about or what have you,
let us know
and we will talk about it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.